It's time to talk about the outdoors in South Alabama. Hunting, fishing, and getting outside along the Great Gulf Coast. It's time to take it outside with FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. With reports, stories, how-to information, and Dr. Bill's Marine Forecast. Here's Sean Sullivan and Mike Ward.
And here we go, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Glad to have y'all here, and good to see Mike.
Good to see you, Sean.
I was on assignment last weekend, back now.
Yeah.
So we're good.
I think you had a better time than I did.
I don't know. You got to go fishing. I did, by the way, just to typecast myself. So we're in Boston for the for Independence Day and for the 250th.
And that's so we're doing awesome place to be.
Yeah, doing history nerd stuff, Lexington and Concord and Bunker Hill and all that stuff. But at the same time, I was trying to find a guide so I could go striped bass fishing. But they're like, they were all booked, like hauling people to do other stuff. Their fishery, they cleaned up Boston Harbor and they're catching some studs in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, the girlfriend said, like, we're doing that. I said, well, if I could do a fishing, we'd do the history of fishing one day. didn't end up doing that, but had a great time.
Yeah.
And now I get back here, and here it is, Roy Martin Young Anglers Tournament.
Yep.
Going on, and we are just less than a week away from the big rodeo. Speaking of which, as we get started here, it is the work they've been doing on Dauphin Island Bridge, and our guest is probably going to want to talk about this with us in a second, but they have paused the work on Dauphin Island Bridge till after the rodeo.
Thank God.
So that stuff with the red light there and the go.
It was a nightmare. It was backed up 2 or 3 miles, they said. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, so they have paused that. So the construction's not going on, so that's not going to be an issue for you right now. Also, just side note before we get back to what we're talking about today, did see this on the Facebook page for Alabama Wildlife and Freshwater Fisheries. They put a thing up here, a post up on Independence Day, said a unique and limited edition. This dove is banded on our nation's semi-quincentennial. Dove season's just around the corner. And it says Officer Bartlett put a ring on this one today. So I don't know if there's like special dove bands for the semi-quincentennial out there, like collector's items, but just reason to do more dove hunting.
Oh, yeah. Gotta get one of those doves.
Yeah, it's got like a whole post about it. Didn't show it, but it's like...
It's just one dove?
No, they banded a bunch of them, but they said something about these being done for 250.
Yeah, well, that'd be awesome, yeah.
Get like a collector's item band.
Yeah.
So that's out there. All right, without further delay, and we've been delaying a lot, but it's good, and he'll probably have commentary on the bridge and then commentary about your trailers. Every year, and hopefully more than once a year, we get our friend Brandon Lunsford from Recreational Sales and Service on to talk trailers. He's going to do it with us today. Hey, Brandon.
How you doing, Mike, Sean?
Doing good, man.
So let me ask you this as we get in, and we're going to talk about trailers today. Always a popular show when you're on. But you're a man who goes back and forth across the Dauphin Island Bridge a good bit. You're pretty excited about them suspending the bridge work right now?
Yeah, it's one of those things that's a double-edged sword. I mean, it's something that has to be done. You know, you can't keep kicking the can down the road, so to speak. So... I just take my time, you know, the good time to go and to leave. I leave early in the morning, and if I go down there, I try to wait till about 6:30 or 7, you know, when the traffic dies down. I dang sure wouldn't want to drive down there, you know, Saturday morning or, you know, in during the day, you know, especially on the weekend. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is, and, you know, it would be a bad place to have your trailer fail. See that segue I did there?
Yeah.
That pivot? Yeah, okay, all right.
Which does happen on the bridge.
Yeah, it happened yet. Well, somebody's trailer didn't fail, but their truck broke down with a big boat on the bridge yesterday at 5:15. So, you know, thank God I wasn't going down there, but it happened. So,
yeah.
Regardless if it's one lane or two lane, you don't want to break down on that bridge.
Were they on the flat part of the bridge, or were they on the...
It was on the flat. It was on the south side of the hump there.
Oh, gosh, because I was thinking, what a place to happen.
Halfway up the hill.
You know,
Yeah.
You know when you don't have enough truck to haul boats, which I've done a lot in my life, you're going, I think I can, as I'm going up and over. Come on, baby, you can do it. Let's get up and over. So let's get into this. And if y'all have not heard Brandon on with us before, we're going to talk about your boat trailer. We're going to talk about all trailers, the things that can go wrong, the things you need to check. Maintenance that needs to be done. It's important to do all the time, but there's a lot of people that it's this time of year is the year. This is when they break their trailers out. Rodeo's coming up next weekend. Let's get the old boat out.
Yep.
It may lead to people stuck on the side of the road.
And so, Brandon has taught me a lesson that I need to go and see him every year, no later than every 2 years at the outside, and let him inspect my trailer. So that's what I do now to keep from having a catastrophe. Mm-hmm. You really need to go every year, don't you, Brandon?
Oh, yeah. Especially on your bigger boats like yours. I mean, there's a lot of wear and tear that goes along with trailer and big boats like that. And, you know, something to mention right now is, you know, people need to be mindful, especially if they're bigger boats like yours, that, you know, the billy goat hole, the original ramp there, not the little billy goat.
Yeah.
A lot of people are, you know, having issues coming out of there. You know, it's just such a steep incline when it comes and flattens out that they're, you know, dragging their cross members off their trailers. So there's just a lot of things you need to be careful of this year down there.
They are hitting that? They're bottoming it out?
Yeah, they're bottoming out, coming over the, you know, coming out. A lot of your bigger boats
are. You got a hump there, yes.
Yeah, it's a pretty big hump coming out of there, and I don't know if, you know, how they're. I haven't seen it personally. I haven't made it down there to look at it, but, you know, we've sold a lot of parts based on that yeah. hump so far.
Well, I did launch there last weekend. I didn't have any problem with mine.
Yeah.
Mine's 35-foot, and we launched Mark's boat there. He's got a 37-foot, and we didn't have any problems. So we didn't have a problem.
But y'all both put lift kits on your trailers, right?
No lift kits on the trailer.
Brandon's going to start get you a 2 or 4 inch lift kit on this thing. We'll put some bigger tires on it.
You know, when you start talking about that, and this is one thing I did want to touch on today is, you know, getting your boat and your trailering correctly as far as the height of the trailer in conjunction with the truck. And I stress this all the time. We did a big job for a guy who was taking his regulator to the Keys just 2 weeks ago, and we put new brake pads on there, new tires, new everything. So he, you know, going to the Keys. You know, it's hot right now. The road's extremely hot. So you want to have good tires. You want to have brakes and everything. And every job we do like that, we'll go test run the trailer up and down range line. You know, pull it, get everything heated up, make sure nothing's locking up or everything. Well, they call me and they get, you know, 80 miles away and they're like, hey man, we stop just to check everything, man, the hubs are extremely hot, this, that, another. And I said, will you send me a picture standing away from the truck and the trailer? Let me see what's going. Let me just send me that picture. And sure enough, they had that truck, that regulator was hooked to the back of the truck and the boat was bow down. The trailer was facing down at a down angle towards the ball. So when you have these surge brakes, unlike Mike has electric over hydraulic, your actuator works off compression. Well, when you're pulling that trailer and it's bowed down, even though you stop and you're pulling back, you know, you're going forward, the weight of the boat, even though you're moving down the interstate 60, 70 miles an hour, it'll push just so much on that actuator, and it will be just slightly applying the brakes at all times while you're going down the interstate. And I told him, I said, hey, man, take your B&W hitch, flip it over upside down. You need that trailer, especially when you have surge brakes on a trailer. You need to be pulling completely level, if not just ever so slightly up in the front. You know, when I say maybe an inch. You'd rather be pulling back against the truck than pushing towards it, because when you put on brakes, it's going to compress, and then when you let off, it's supposed to pull back on its own. Well, if you're bowed down, it's not going to do that. And you know, I told him, I said, "Hey, do this." I said, "You know, run it down. You know, call me, go to the next exit." And they called me and said, "Hey, Brandon, everything's cool, everything's fine. You know, it's exactly what you said." So
how about
that? That's just. You know, it's just one of the things, and we see it all the time. I mean, I had another boat come in there the other day, a brand new, big fancy, I think it was a 27 young bay boat guy bought, and he pulled up, and my brakes are smoking all this, and he's pulling it with a Toyota Tundra, and it was bowed down, and the whole time he was pulling it, you know, from, I think, Stinahatchee to here, the brakes were just applied. And I said, well, you know, we changed it out,
wow.
You know, sold him a B&W hitch, and he pulled it back over there. He said, man, everything's fine. So that's really a really critical thing to look at when you're trailering your boat, regardless if you have brakes or not, because you will, you know, anytime you're bow down, you know, too much down in the front of the boat, and, you know, you can't ever get it. You can get it too high, but more than likely you're not. But if you ever see somebody pulling down the road and that bow of that trailer is just, you can almost see the back tires look like they're about to come off the ground. Well, you're putting all that weight on that front axle.
Yeah.
And you're going to have a failure, whether it be a tire or a bearing, you're destined for a failure.
You need to equalize your trailer and make it level.
Yeah.
And I did that with mine. I made sure I actually put a level on it up front and made sure that it was level at the position I was pulling it in.
That's good. Yeah. And you talk about the brakes being one part of it, but like you said, even if you didn't have brakes, which I do, the new trailer I bought from you, but you started with me with that B&W hitch because you said you're not pulling, you got to, you know, I was like, it's close enough. And Brandon said, no, it needs to be right.
Yeah.
You know, and that, I mean, that's tire wear. I mean, it's like, you know, the brakes is obviously, well, you're talking about a catastrophic situation, but it's tire wear. Like you said, it's axle wear, just in not adjusting it.
Yep. Yep. And it's a small thing that, you know, and I'm always on the island goofing around and I'll see somebody filling up with gas and they'll be from out of town or somewhere with the whole family. I'm like, hey man, you know, you need to get that, you raise the front of that, and I'll explain to them, and, you know, they'll say, thank you, I never thought about that. I'm like, man, you know, I saw a guy from Huntsville the other day with a big Sea Hunt filling up the gas station. I just, you know, went over there and said, hey man, you mind if I give you some advice? And, you know, he took it nicely. He was like, yeah, man, I never thought about that. I'll, you know, and you know, just all you need to do is, you know, turn your ball over and raise it up.
Yep.
All right. We'll continue this conversation, the things you need to check on, things you need to adjust, getting the inspections done, your whole trailer. Man knows about it. Brandon Lunsford, our guest right here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, glad to have you all along. And it's always great when we get our buddy Brandon Lunsford from Recreational Sales and Service to talk about trailers. And y'all work on all trailers, and not just boat. We're going to kind of focus on boat trailers, but I see all kind of trailers in your yard.
Oh, yeah. We've got them from your little utility trailers up to your big eight-wheel gooseneck, big 25,000-pound trailer. So we'll pretty much we'll do it all now.
And you sell boat trailers.
Boat trailers, equipment trailers, utility trailers, kayak trailers, jet ski trailers, just anything with trailers.
Yep.
I want to get to, you know, when I got a new trailer from you, one of the reasonings I did that, but I want to get to that later on about just the size of trailers. But let's talk about tires. Okay, let's talk about where the rubber truly meets the road on this. What do people need to look at? What like some, you know, things that they ought to be aware of?
Yeah, and I'm not trying to pick on Mike. It seems like we pick on him every time.
It's fun. I'm used to it, buddy. But, come on.
Yeah, he brought his boat, and I told him, you know, when we did that major repair, I think it's 3 years ago now, I said, look, you know, this size boat, much as you use it, you know, bring it in once a year, you know, doesn't take long to look at it. And he brought in, everything looked good, and I called Mike. I said, hey, Mike, you look your tires. Oh, they look great, man. I said, well, they're separating. And he's like, oh, really? And I, you know, send him a picture, and you know the quarters are starting to separate, even though the tires don't have a bazillion miles on them. Just they have a shelf life. I mean, you get 5-6 years is the, you know, the industry standard on trailer tires when you want to replace them. You know, you can get longer lifespans out of your higher ply ratings. You know, you start getting 12, 14, 16 ply, which I think Mike had the 12 ply on that one. And you can, you know, they were,
no, think, they were 10 were ply. I believe they 10 were 10 ply.
What yeah. standard, yeah, like 10. If somebody hadn't looked, like what do you, the standard tire is going to be what, 10 ply?
You know, 8 and 10. I mean, on boats like his, 10 is the minimum I would run. And like when he replaced his, I said, man, we need to go 14 ply tires.
Yep.
You know, they're just, it's basically the same tire that's on a dump truck or 18 wheeler as far as the look of it. And it's a regroovable tire. They last, you know, a long time. They're hard to, you know, puncture with a nail or any kind of road debris. You know, if I say there's any drawback to them is when your trailer's light, and the, you know, being nothing on your trailer, they might pull a little rough when it's colder or they're, you know, you first get going with them. But you can get twice a life out of them, even though they still say recommend replacing tires every 5 to 6 years. I mean, we see people that run those 14 ply, you know, 10 years, no problem, because they're just so much more rubber. And I showed Mike that there at the shop. I was like, well, this is a 10 ply. I showed him the thickness, the sidewall thickness is, you know, you go from, you know, 3/8 of an inch thick to almost 1.5 inches thick.
No comparison between the two, Brandon. No comparison.
Yeah.
I love those tires that got put on there. They are awesome, man. I just didn't realize that that was just 10 ply that came with. That's the original tires came with the trailer when I bought the trailer. And I had no idea that that was 10 ply on there. And I'll tell you this, too. I hadn't talked to you since then. But when I got home, the next morning, I had a flat tire on one of the tires. It separated.
Yeah.
You know, and you told me to go straight and home. Don't do anything to get the tires put on there. So I did, and I'm glad I did.
Yep. And
you were 100% right.
And there's easy things to look at. Your tires have a date code on them on the side of it. It's going to be a 4-digit number, and just say, like, you know, it would say 2019. That means that tire was produced the 20th week of 2019. So industry standard, you know, they say 5 years. I tell everybody 5 years.
Yeah.
You know, they can look good. I mean, if you're pulling around here, you know, it's a storm trailer, and you're, you know, right here close to your house, you know, you can push the envelope a little bit on that. But if you're running down the road and everything, it's one tire blowout can ruin your whole Saturday, especially if you got the, you know, mama and kids in the car and it's 100 degrees outside. You know, things can go south real quick once that happens. So
that's right. And if you're going to trailer, I mean, I'm getting ready to trailer. I may end up trailering to Cocodree. And that's a nightmare to pull over there with even good tires.
Yeah, there's not exactly any room on the side of the road.
No. So, bad tires. I mean, I'm glad I brought my trailer in there and got you to check everything, because I may have gotten on the road with those tires.
Yeah, and the easiest thing to look for is, like, when I sent you that picture, I mean, it had a split in the center of the tread. I mean,
yeah,
it had a split, and you can look and, you know, look at for cracks in the sidewalls. If your tire starts to cone up in the middle, you know, your tire should be, you know, on the top of it should be pretty flat, you know, on a radial tire, you know, a bias ply tire, which I don't recommend. They'll naturally have a hump to them. But if you start seeing them starting to hump up in the middle, that means the cords are starting to separate inside. The rubber and the steel are starting to separate. So that's a good indication that you're about to have a tire failure.
That's a good one that people can just check with their eyes. You can just look, is it flat on top?
I didn't know what I was looking at, and the tires actually looked to me pretty good shape, you know?
Yeah.
To my eyes, I didn't see anything wrong with it.
That's why you get Brandon to look at
that's
it.
That's right.
A lot of times you can look, especially, you know, your front two tires, if you have a tandem or a triple or single, you can see if your front tires, if you look at your treads when you're going real slow and, you know, they're all falling in line. If they're all falling in line, you know, you can tell things are, you know, they're good on that tire. But a lot of times people come pulling in and I'll say, well, your front tires separate. And they're like, how do you know? I was like, well, your tread is doing like a zigzag. Like, it's almost like the tread has shifted on the tire. And that's when a tire is separating and you're backing up and it like moves the tread on the surface of the tire and it actually moves it over a little bit. You'll see that it'll zigzag. You'll see it roll perfect and you'll get a squiggly line. Like the tread will go in a different, you know, be off, you know, from the center. So
yeah, there's nothing more miserable than, like Sean said, planning a trip to go somewhere, whether it's just a Dolphin Island or you're going on a couple hundred mile trip or whatever. Nothing more miserable than be sitting on the side of the road in 100 degree temperature trying to change tires out or bearings, whatever.
And a big thing right now is you definitely want to check your air pressure. I mean, you want to run it whatever, like the tires are on Sean's trailer, like 85 pounds, you know, it's a 10 ply radial, you know, you want to run them at 80 pounds.
Yeah.
At least. I run mine right at 5 pounds under on your bigger ones. But if your tire, like we always sell, or the 14, on like our 14-inch tires, our most popular seller, because there's more smaller boats out there, it's 65 pounds. say you want to run 60 pounds and being underinflated at 30 pounds, 45 pounds, you will blow a tire faster than anything because it heats up prematurely yep. because you're putting more surface on the ground than is required, and it's building up undue heat, and that tire will explode.
And that's with any trailer. I mean,
any
whether
trailer,
it's a
utility trailer, car,
whatever it is. And, that's exactly right. Underinflating, you're subject to have a blowout.
Yeah, and you can look and you can see that too when you're underinflated. It'll wear on the, you know, it'll wear funny. It'll wear on the inside or inside and outside. I sold a set of tires to a guy. You know, it was probably 2 years ago when he came in and he's like, "Man, these things are, they're all wearing funny. I think the hubs are bad." And we checked the air pressure in the tires. It was 25 pounds in every tire.
Huh.
And that's another thing is these boat trailers will sit for 6-8 months at a time.
Yep.
You're going to lose, you'll lose air. I mean, on a boat trailer, I mean, your car gets moved every day. It's not the same as a trailer. You don't have the corrosion, you know, that can build up on the rims, your valve stem corrode a little bit. I mean, there's all kinds of variables. Well, they will lose air. I mean, if you check your tires, let it sit for 6 months on a boat trailer, they're all going to be low.
Yeah.
Well, he's like, well, I just run whatever, he said, I just run, you know, 35 pounds in them. I was like, well, they're 65 pound tires. You know, you need to run what is required. Well, I've always been told you run 35 pounds. I was like, no, you run what's on the side of the tire.
Yeah.
You know, based on load. I mean, if it's, you know, you can run as, you know, 50 to 55 in a 65 pound tire, but I would, you know, recommend running 60 pounds.
Yeah. And he may be looking at a car tire, which is a lot of times 35 pounds.
Yeah. And that's the biggest thing is people relate it to a car tire.
Right. And it's not. It's totally different.
Talking tires, too, got a minute or two here before the break. What about size? Because we're talking about ply and all that, but what about, do you recommend people, you know, increase the size of tire, bigger rim, that kind of stuff, or is it?
Man, I always recommend, even like on my 13-inch tire, that when we sell a tire, a 13-inch tire, I don't stock anything but a 10-ply. I mean, the minimum, and they're like a 14-inch. Yeah, I stock a minimum of a 10-ply, which you really can't get a bigger ply than a 14, but on the 15s, we stock a 10 or a 14-ply. And then on the 225s and the bigger tires, you know, we recommend going with like a 14-ply or something, you know, if you're using a pretty good bit. On medium-sized boats, like, you know, like your boat, and, you know, most of your boats, 24 to, you know, 27-foot, a 10-ply is sufficient. But if you said, hey, man, I'm going to take my boat to the Keys, it's insurance. You're basically buying insurance. I mean, it's the odds of you having a problem with a 10-ply versus a 14-ply are much greater. I've put 14-ply on, probably 100 trailers that have gone to South Florida, and everybody's just raves and like, man, I've never had a problem.
Yeah. So if you go to Academy and buy a tire, let's say a 13-inch tire, what ply would that be?
You're probably going to get a 6-ply by
ply,
Yeah. Any of your places you go by, like Academy or Walmart, you're paying way more than you need, and you're going to get a inferior tire.
You know, that's what a lot of people don't understand about buying from an independent person like yourself is that you're not going to sell junk. You're going to sell quality stuff that's going to hold up because you don't want people coming back to you pointing their finger. Walmart don't care.
Exactly.
Yeah, but you do. I mean, you don't want them coming back and blasting you out because you sold them some inferior piece of equipment.
All right, let's hold on that thought. Go to the break. Coming right back. More with Brandon Ludensford. We're talking trailers here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Welcome back. FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward. Glad to have you all along. Remember, check out all the stuff going on with this show on the Facebook page. Now, we got the very popular FM Talk 106.5 Facebook page. This soon-to-be very popular FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors page. Make sure to follow that on Facebook. The big station page. Yeah. But we're making our way there.
We're going to make it.
Get that kind of volume.
Maybe.
By the way, too, as plugging things, so coming up on Thursday, back for the Liars Contest at the rodeo, so judge again there. and then be doing my show live, Midday Mobile, from noon to 2 on Friday from the rodeo site, and then a special outdoor show without Mike because he's always somewhere else, offshore. I'll be doing the show from 11 to noon on Saturday from the rodeo site. So come by and say hello. All right, continuing our conversation about then, this is pretty darn important. If you're the even if you've been running the boat a bunch, but if you're like, hey, let's get the boat out for the rodeo, there's some things to check.
Yeah, do something first before you go.
We're talking to Brandon Lunsford from Recreational Sales and Service. Brandon, let's get to hubs, because out of all the things you've talked about, the one I grew up hearing about, you know, the other things I didn't know about, started hanging out with you, but it was the hubs. My dad, when I left the house, what are the hubs like? I'm trailing a 14-foot Richline, and dang it, we talked about hubs for 18 minutes before I left. Let's talk hubs, man. How important are they?
Man, that's the lifeblood of the trailer, other than the tires. I mean, that's really, if you don't have, you know, good hubs and tires, and, you know, of course the axles go with the hubs.
But how do you know you don't have good hubs? That's the problem. I mean, people are like, they look good.
Man, there's so many different, you know, hubs out there, and there's several indications. The biggest thing we're seeing right now is there's a popular hub out there made by Dexter. It's called the Dexter Vortex hub, and they've got a little screw-on plastic cap, and they're on a lot of your smaller bay boats and in some of your bigger center consoles, but the little caps are breaking down from the heat and the petroleum and the oil, and they will crack, and they'll just have a crack in them, but they won't start like spewing out oil, but they'll start taking water in. And the next thing you know, you're going down the road and you're missing a tire and hub and everything. So, you know, the easiest way to check a hub is, one, you know, inspect the back and the front for leaking grease out the back seal or out the front. On your standard traditional hubs like yours, the PosiLube, which I like the best, they have the little red, you know, the little rubber caps on the front where you grease them. You know, change those out every 6 months or a year, because they'll dry rot, they'll crack, they'll let water in. So that's, you know, a good indication there of seeing the grease coming out of that. But you need to jack them up. You know, you spin your tire, and if you hear any kind of, grinding noise or any kind of noise, or you feel any kind of slack in it, then you know you need to address something with that hub.
So, I mean, and packing the hubs, to be hearing you, is not only am I making sure I have grease in there, but you're talking about making sure you don't have water in there, too. I mean, this is a two-part thing.
Yeah, make sure you don't have water. And this is, I had a guy come in earlier. He was like, man, I just bought these hubs from you 2 years ago, and man, this one's slap full of water and this, that, and other. And I was like, well, how often are you greasing them? He's like, well, I grease them every time I go out. I was like, well, that's your problem. He's like, well, how can I have too much grease? I was like, well, your grease in the hub, it's going to expand when it gets hot, and it has to have room for expansion. And if you pack so much in there, it's got to go somewhere. It's either going to come out the front or the back. And when they heat up, it's going to push the grease out the front of the back, more likely the back, and it's going to ruin that seal over time. So
it's almost contrary, because, I mean, somebody thinking, well, I got to pack so much it's starting to come out is a good thing, but it's not.
Yeah. No, you want to leave room, especially your PosiLube ones that have the caps on them. Mike's has the caps on his. You know, you want to leave, you know, you want to pump it, and you see that grease start to move on that outer bearing, move out a little bit. You want to leave, you know, some avoided space in there for expansion. And if you do see some, you know, some water in there, get a little bit of condensation, you can pump it out, but you want to take a paper towel and dig out the grease, you know, around that cap and give you room for expansion.
So I mean, how close, like, and I know there's not a measurement, but out of, let's say a fully packed coming out is 100%. Do you want it packed as 80%? Is it packing night?
You just want it to have enough. You know, if you have the buddy bearings, it's spring loaded, and when that spring stops, which actually you want about a halfway, because you want it to have room to expand. But you just want to, like on your trailer, like I told you, you know, when it's new, you know, run it for, you know, a few months, put a couple of squirts on each one, so you see the grease move and stop. Because it's, you know, you're not burning grease. I mean, it's not like you're
right.
you know, it just doesn't burn it. You know, you're either going to lose it, or it's going to, you're going to have water intrusion. It's going to mix with water.
So when you do grease it, just grease it a little bit till that spring starts moving out. Once it starts moving out, stop.
Yep. I know, like on yours, you don't have a spring, or, and I mean, you know, 90% of all your new trailers have just posi lube.
Yeah.
Which you just look inside there and you see the Zerk fit and you're greasing it. When you see that grease starting to push out that outer bearing, you just stop.
Okay.
Because that's good to know. It is good to know, because, I mean, a lot of times, just if you don't hear somebody like Brandon tell you, you're like, well, more's the better.
That's right. It's always more's better. Keep pumping.
Yeah. Well, and I've people come in, they're like, man, this thing's slinging grease everywhere. And I look and, man, it'll be caked all inside the rim. It'll be all over the front of the rim. I'm like, you've overpacked it. He's like, well, man, I've squirted every time I go out. I mean,
they think they're doing the right thing. That's the thing. That's why this advice is.
It's old timer things that people's grandpas and dads have told them. It's like back in the day, they said, oh, you got to unplug your motor and burn all the gas out of it. You know, that's, you're causing more harm than you were good, you know.
Yeah, drying it out. These are all the things I grew up doing. We run it till it's dry. He wouldn't be coming out with the hub slinging grease when I came out the driveway.
It might go back to the tractor days with Grandpa saying, okay, don't get on that tractor unless you grease it.
Yep. That's also he said that too.
In a tractor, that's rule of thumb there too. Yeah. A greasy tractor is a healthy tractor, but it doesn't work on your hub world there. So, and the something I was talking to Sean earlier about is, you know, people need to check their hubs a lot more frequently now, because, you know, these ramps are getting, you know, more congested. You're having to turn sharper and backing in, when you're jockeying the trailer and you're pulling up and you're doing a 90 degree turn just about, and you look at your tires and, you know, you watch people's tires, like the front tires, like it looks like it's about to pop off.
Like
about to roll in.
Yep.
So it's, you know, it's not really your tire that's taking some wear to it, but your bearings, they're not designed to take that kind of stress. So, and that'll produce premature bearing failure also.
So just the angle, putting that pressure on it.
Yeah. I mean, you see it, and we get calls all the time. People are like, can I bring my trailer to you? And, man, my front left tire, you know, is wearing on the outside, and my front tire on the inside is wearing on the inside, and like this, and they show up, and I'm like, everything else looks good. And I'm like, well, are you having to back in all the time somewhere? Where he goes, oh, yeah, when I pull my boat out and put it in my house, man, I pretty much have to jackknife my trailer. I'm like, well, you're dragging that tire across the concrete, you know, or the asphalt. So, you know, you're going to wear the outside of that tire when you're doing it repeatedly all the time.
Yep. You know, just something people don't think about.
Yeah.
No, and it happens. And it's, I mean, a good example is a good customer of mine, Benny Goldman. We replaced probably 5 axles on his Freeman trailer. And it's always the front axle. It's always the driver front, because where he backs down his house to get in his house, he has to jackknife that trailer so hard that front tire is rolling up under. It's just rolling, and it will bend his spindle over time.
I'll be dead go.
You mentioned axles. We've got about 2 minutes here. Let's talk axles as we go to the break. What do we need to be watching there?
Man, you need to be looking for the rust anywhere on the axle, especially if you start seeing rust in the center of your axle, if you got a dip down axle, or you just start to see rust flaking around the beam itself, it's rusting from the inside out more than likely. So you're gonna have something there.
He's describing my old trailer. I pulled in and he said, you got rust in that axle. I'm like, no, it's just on the outside there. If it's there,
it's
Sean,
come
it's
all
on
way
the
through.
Inside.
Yeah.
Yeah. And every axle just about has a the way they build them, we call them a brake flange. It's a square flange behind the hub, whether you have brakes or not. When you see that thing starting to rust, you know, looks like the wet, you know, it's just starting to flake off really bad. And around that weld where that, you know, that's where the weld is for the spindles on the axles. Unfortunately, when they build an axle, that can't be galvanized. I mean, the tube is galvanized, but your spindle and everything is raw steel, and it's coated good with a galvanizing primer and paint, but it's not like a dip galvanized. That your failure, or, you know, where it's going to start breaking down 90% of the time, is there first. So you need to look for that. And then where your seal rides on your spindle, it's got a stainless cap over it, so it doesn't rust, but behind it is just the regular steel, and over time it'll rust and swell, and it'll crack that little wear sleeve, and the next thing you know it tears your seal up, and then you have a bearing failure, you know, hub failure. So, and you can replace those little sleeves if you catch it in time.
You know, everybody's taking notes here, and that's a good thing. Things to check. But back to this, and we'll talk, you know, we talked about the beginning of the show as well. And this is some of the beauty of just taking it to Brandon, because he knows what to look for.
Absolutely.
Pull it in there.
That's
say
what I do.
What's going on
you
with
do.
It. Yeah. Well, hey, coming right back. More with Brandon Lunsford. Talking trailers here on FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Back, FM Talk 106.5 Outdoors. Sean Sullivan, Mike Ward, and always a treat to talk to our buddy Brandon Lunsford with Recreational Sales and Service. And if people are listening to us right now going, oh, crap.
Yeah.
How do they find you?
We've since moved to our new location. It's just a quarter mile south. We're 6285 Rangeline Road in Theodore. Right by the big Sun Belt there on Rangeline.
Yeah, when you're going down Rangeline, he's on the left-hand side before you get to Hamilton Boulevard, mm-hmm. and across the street from his brother, Chandler, at Blue Water Marine.
Middle Bay Marine.
Middle Bay Marine.
It means y'all got to look at each other. Do you end up seeing him more than you want to?
No, I mean, we always see each other a good bit. I mean, we used to be right across the street. Now I'm just a little further down. So yep. It's either somebody's coming from his shop to me or my shop to him. So we always can shoot a message, between a customer.
Y'all compliment each other. And let me tell you, your new showroom and your new shop and your new yard, it looks great. That is a first-class move there, Brandon. I love it.
Thank you. It's a work in progress, and hopefully by this time next year we'll be 100%, settled and ready to go.
Well, it looks wonderful, I can tell you that.
Thank you.
You know, thinking about, we're talking about all these components of the trailer, but I want to talk about the trailer itself and the size, because this is what we did. Not only was the trailer I was running under my 24/7 pursuit, it was falling apart, but it was also, I guess, legally sized for that boat, but it was undersized, as you pointed out. And kind of talk about what we did, and this might be an eye-opener for some people.
Yeah, and when you first bought that boat, I want to say you had like a single two-stroke on there, and you were probably right there in the comfort range, I would call it.
Had a pair of OX66s on it.
OX66, and you added the new four-strokes and all the fancy electronics and all the other stuff and air conditioning and all the good stuff. But it's that boat. I mean, we didn't go weigh it, but I can look at it and say, hey, man, that thing weighs every bit of 7,000 pounds with full of fuel, full of ice, full mm-hmm. of everything. Might be 7,500. Well, your trailer that was under there, which, it was old, mm-hmm. And it was, it was a 7,000 pound GVWR trailer, meaning, deduct the weight of the trailer, it probably held, give or take, 6,100 pounds. So, anywhere between 1,000, 1,500 pounds overweight with the payload,
mm-hmm.
Which, you could probably, and I see people do it all the time. They'll get a trailer for a boat. Even these new dealers will sell a boat and it'll be a 6,000 pound rig and they'll put it on a 7,000 pound GVWR trailer, which, in specs, you're all good, but, you're pushing the limits. You're right there at the max. Is it going to hold it? Yeah, but what's the wear components on it? Or just you're going to wear your tires out faster, your brakes out faster, your bearings out faster. Where like on your boat, I said, look, man, we need to go to a, a 10,000 pound GVWR trailer, which has an 8,700 pound carrying capacity. And you give yourself, you know, 1,000 extra pounds. I mean, you just got a lot more meat under your boat. In far as like if going to, Louisiana or going mm-hmm. to Port St. Joe like you do, yep. there's a lot more confidence in what you have there.
It feels different. The second I pulled out of there with that new trailer, it just felt, I don't know how to describe it. It just felt
safe
more solid.
Factor.
It felt more solid, you know. It did.
Yeah,
it
really and it's, and I'll do that, and I'll get a call, pretty much, within 5 or 10 minutes, and when I put somebody, especially when they have the wrong size trailer under a boat or a little bit inadequate, they'll call me. Oh my God, man! Mm-hmm. I just got home, man. This thing, I never thought it would pull so good. I didn't even know it was back there, man. It just felt so much better, and it does make a difference. I mean, it does.
Never underpower your trailer. Always overpower your trailer.
Yeah, and you see a lot of boats running around that have they're right there on the limit. It just. And my saying is, I'm like, it looks like it's about to give birth.
yeah,
fly off of it.
Well, and it's a good to open people's eyes because. Hey, man, Brandon, I bought the boat from the guy. They said that's the trailer that goes with it.
Yeah.
And if you don't know what you're talking about, then you feel like you're doing the right thing. You don't know any better. It's not that you're dumb. You just don't know.
Yeah, and it's, and some people, it's a budget thing, and I tell people, I was like, look, man, if it's, you go from, on that trailer that you bought versus the other one, I mean, you spend another $1,500, and it's kind of like saying, hey, man, I bought this nice new tractor and trailer. I'm going to go buy me a Ford F-150. Well, hey, for, $1,500 more, you can buy F-250 to mm-hmm. pull that tractor. It's just the same scenario. It's when you put that little bit, go one step up, not overkill, but one step up, it just makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, that would make a huge difference between $150 and a $250.
And before we wrap up, too, looking at time here, I want to talk about something that you've turned both Mike and I on to.
Yes.
And this is Salt Gone. What is Salt Gone?
Yeah, it's Salt Gone, Salt Gone, Salt Away. We carry a product called Booyah that's a salt terminator also that's made out of some Cajuns, Louisiana. But it's a salt neutralizer. I mean, it's good for anything. It's whether it be your trailer, your boat motor, your fishing rods and reels, any of your equipment that gets wet with salt water, it basically just neutralizes a salt, because it's like...
But people say, hey, I came in and sprayed it down with fresh water. Why do I need this?
Yeah, well, that salt dries on there, and you can wash it off. It's like you wash yourself off with a hose after you go fishing all day, and you go in there, and you can still feel all crusty and everything until you put something on it. You're not getting it off all the way. You might get a little bit of it off, but it dries on there.
Yeah.
It's you need something that's going to break it down. And Mike is a good testament to how well it works now.
Yeah, we got about 30 seconds or less. I use it every time I pull my trailer out of the water. I spray it down. Every time I get home with it, I spray it down and spray my motors down, spray everything down. It is awesome stuff.
I think you're showering with it now, aren't you?
I shower Sean with it.
That's why I'm less salty than I used to be. Hey, Brandon, as always, man, I appreciate your time with us. Thanks for coming on the show.
I appreciate y'all.
All right, thank you, Brandon.
All right, there's Brandon Lunsford with Recreational Sales and Service. And next show we'll be talking to you from the 93rd Alabama Deep Sea Fishing Rodeo. Y'all have a great one.